Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the last Sunday of the year, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. It's hard to imagine that next Sunday is Advent, and in about 5 weeks we'll be at that blessed Christmas, and then the end of the calendar year. So for those of you who might be new to the liturgical year is a historic, and we see it even in the Old Testament, how the Jews marked out time. But it's a historic way to walk with Jesus from in his life, and we walk beginning with the preparation of his birth all the way to his ascension as the exalted king above all kings. So this is Christ the King Day. Also, and I bet, because you guys are smart, you'll be able to figure this out. There are three cycles of the liturgical year, A, B, and C. Why do you think we trek through the life of Jesus three different times? I'll help you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that's what we do. So we're going to start. We are finishing C, which has been going through the Gospel of Luke. And we'll pick back up with A, and we'll be in the Gospel of Matthew. So next week, we will begin that. To prepare for that, we always have Advent devotional readings to add to what you're doing in your private devotions. But this is from the Society of St. Andrew, a ministry we support. And it's a ministry where they take, used to be just potatoes, but now they do all sorts of feedings. And it's a wonderful ministry. Also, there are little boxes back there if you'd like to collect your loose change through Advent, and then we'll bring that up. Also next week, I will have the round. You may remember them, and some of you may have them, so you don't need them, but the round Advent calendars. So you can open a little door, and mine aren't the ones with chocolate. You'll have to get that on your own. But mine have something even sweeter than chocolate. Mine, when you open them up, you'll see there's a scripture there for you. Also, if you'll look with me in announcements, that I covered that. Tomorrow night at Calvary Baptist Church on Timberlake Road, it's the one sort of behind the trees to the right of the food line, we are having a commissioning celebration. There'll be music, there'll be food, and there'll be prayers over the boxes of shoe boxes that have been collected from this area. It's at 6 p.m., casual dress. I mean, it's not formal, but we'll have that. And I'd love, I know Sherry and I are going, and I would encourage as many as you can come. Should be a great time. Webb went and told me a story, and he didn't know I was going to do it. So would you share that story?
Sure. When I dropped the boxes off, Jacob, who was here speaking, said he came up talking for a minute, so did his wife. She was like, "What? Well, it was Jacob's wife." And I was like, "I didn't recognize you bottled up. All you could see was this much of a face. It was cold outside." But Jacob came up and talked for a minute, and he said, "Did anyone pray over these boxes?" And one of the other people said no. So he had, it's about 12 of us. He had everybody put their hands on a box, and Jacob started the prayer, and he had another gentleman end it. And I just thought that was really cool. They literally pray over every single box. Another person had come and dropped off three boxes, and they sat there and prayed over those three boxes. But it was overwhelming because not only in his prayer did they pray over the boxes, they prayed for the well, for our congregation, for people to help fill them. But, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job filling 50 boxes, but about 50 boxes fit into a square box. And there was hundreds of those square boxes on a truck. And I asked him how many he thought they were going to do, and he said, "We'll probably fill three of those trucks." He was thinking somewhere between 25 and 30,000 shoe boxes at a little old Lynchburg. And so just right then, I was like, man, this program is so strong. It's really cool. And one of the neat things, I'm probably going to miss it because I got to work tomorrow, but I do encourage everyone to go. He said it's a great time. And one of the last things they do is they actually go out and have everyone circle around one of the trucks, and everyone puts their hand on the truck, and they say a final prayer over those boxes before they go down to Charlotte. But it was just, I was kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing because I didn't expect it. I thought it was really cool.
That's and, great.
Like I said, next year we are going to do 300. And I got a game plan, so again, don't freak out. We'll talk about it at the beginning of January. But other churches have done what we're going to try and do and had no problem filling that many boxes.
Thank you, Webb, for your leadership, and we're going to have a great time. Also, the Lynchburg Pops, and I know that at different times Andy and Sarah have Sarah Dietrich have played in it. They have their performance November the 29th, and we have information about that. Also, the thank you card for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, just their graciousness in hosting us. It circulated last week. Did anyone not get a chance to sign it? All right. If you didn't, make sure you sign it. We just want to let them know thank you for what they do in allowing us here. And then the final announcement I have is, being Advent, if most of you are aware, at the beginning of the service, we'll light our Advent candles. We have readings, short readings, not extemporaneous. I'll give you the reading, but if you and your family, or you and a collection of people, or you alone would like to read and light one of the Advent candle Sundays, please let me know, and I'll do that. And if you don't let me know, I will be calling you. So step up to the plate and volunteer. Before we go into prayers, any other announcements? Okay, let's go to prayers. The one I'd like to start off with is Bea Gardner had her surgery on Friday. Was so pleased with how it went. She was actually able to leave the hospital by around 4:15, and it went swimmingly. And then Saturday rolled around, and Saturday was a very painful day as the pain block wore off. But the text that he sent out this morning to the men's group, it sounds like they were able to have a good night's rest and doing better. So let's continue to keep Bea and Dave in our prayers. Any other prayer requests that aren't mentioned that you'd like to include? Yeah, yes, sir. What?
Our sweet babies are traveling today here for Thanksgiving. And Carrie's got a lot of family coming from Texas, from New York, from Richmond. So just prayers for travelers.
I had forgotten it until several people in the Narthex reminded me this morning, but Thursday is Thanksgiving. So please remember... please remember all those that are traveling, and in particular, Carolyn is all the way in Spain, so keep Carolyn Asher on our prayers, and all the travelers. Any others? Carrie?
I have a friend, Christy Kazee. She has a baby that's probably, I don't know, maybe in preschool, but he lost his father yesterday, Daniel Johns, and I don't know the gentleman, but she had it on Facebook. If everybody could just pray for her family and the boys, having a hard time. His name was Daniel Johns. Just
live
Christy and
get
something for
him. Are they any, you know, because there was an Alex John that died very young that I walked with in that journey, and his brother Doug John runs Apocalypse Ale. Are they part of that family?
I don't know, because I know Christy, but I know her little boys from him, and I saw the post, several people post. I think he marked it.
Okay. Well, let's keep Christy and her son
in prayer. They're so young to lose their father.
Absolutely. Thank you, especially this time of year. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if you saw the post, but Father Scott Hedrick at Dunedin, Florida, who was our host for recent ministers and others retreat, posted yesterday that he had been in the hospital for 14 days and has some congestive heart failure going on. And so we need to lift him up. He's a very energetic guy. He probably wore himself out doing everything he had to do for our retreat.
Yeah. He works very hard. Well, let's keep Scott Hedrick in our prayers. Thank you for mentioning that. And I saw a hand somewhere else. Yes, sir.
Always Helen.
Let's keep Helen in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Katie.
I have two things. I have prayers that my neighbor, Tim Odie, is free of cancer.
Oh, praise God.
He's had a 6-month checkup, scanned his whole body, and he's free. He's still under observation, but he's doing very well.
Tim Odie is free of cancer, neighbor of Katie. Praise God for that.
And the other thing is Gail Everett's knee is really...
Gail's knee is hurting so badly that she gave up the opportunity to go to a football game where Virginia Tech beat Liberty yesterday. And she gave that opportunity. So she must really be hurting. How is she today, Barry?
She's not any worse.
Not any worse, okay.
She's looking forward to Tuesday after Thanksgiving when she's going to get a shot.
Okay. Let's keep Gail in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes?
Not a prayer request, just curious if you can give us an update on Bishop Weeks.
He's home. Actually, he's traveling to North Carolina, Bishop Weeks, that is, to be with his daughter. And saw him last week, and I'm going to see him when he gets back and visit with him. But he's doing well, just 89 and bored and alone. So within a short period, he lost his wife, his caregiver, and his dog. And, you know, life can get lonely when you're there. So thank you for mentioning him and offering. Any others? One other gentleman I'd like you to keep, Danny Miller, in your prayer. I don't really know him, but I was called on Friday to go visit with him, which I did. He's 64 and was a very hard worker, big burly guy, did rigging for Framatone and at work. Back in the fall, he collapsed and come to find out he has brain cancer, and he went into a coma yesterday, and he's not supposed to, expected to make the day today. And they asked me if I'd come to for his wife and daughter after service, which I will. But keep the Miller family, Danny Miller, in your prayers. And I guess that's a reminder to us all to, if we woke up this morning, this is the best day that we will ever have, for the Lord has given us a new one. Yes?
And pray for the Lloyd family.
Oh, and Lynn Lloyd has his service yesterday, this evening. He was a preacher. And one more, I don't know her name, but I heard on the news, and unfortunately the gentleman driving the float was from Goode, Virginia, but there was a little girl that was run over by an errant float in a Thanksgiving or Christmas parade in Raleigh yesterday. And so the 20-year-old guy driving it must be devastated. Glass is his last name. So let's keep that tragic situation in our prayers. Anything else? Yes, Mark?
Bob's cousin will be probably be transported to Roanoke. She has dementia.
What's her name?
Kathy Miller.
Kathy Miller.
She came to our Christmas social.
I remember that.
And her dementia has gotten so that she can't stay by herself. So her son has got that task to move her on Tuesday or Wednesday. Not real sure which.
We'll definitely keep Kathy in our prayers. Bob's cousin. Anyone else? Isn't it nice to have a place to turn when we are faced with the joys and the cares of life? We need not bear them alone, but we share them with each other. And at this time, I invite you to go with me as we place them in the hands of the one who called us to cast all our cares upon you, for you careth for us. We trust you, our Father, as we lift all of these up. We thank you for your watch care. There is nothing that is outside of the realm of your care and your concern and your control. We thank you for your attentiveness to our lives. You know your children and you are aware. So these items we bring to you, we know that you already are working, but we come as your children just needing to be able to share and talk to our dad, to our father, and metaphorically to allow your almighty arms of love to envelop us and to remind us that you are the God yet. That no matter how strong the wrong seems, you are the ruler yet. We come to you as a loving Father who is the King of Kings. So we ask that you would attend to all of these that have been mentioned for Bea and her recovery. We know that pain is unnecessary and part of the healing process, like turbulence in the sky, but it's still one that we would ask that you would keep at a minimum, continue to strengthen her. We pray that you would be with those that are dealing with loss at this time. This is a joyous time of the year, but it can also be a difficult one. We pray for Bishop Weeks and for Christie's child and the loss of their dad. We pray for Danny Miller and his transition and his family, for the Lloyd family. We pray for the tragedy of this young child that was killed at the parade, and for the young man who just inadvertently was a part of that. Just draw close and comfort him. Sometimes, oh Lord, it feels that the only place we can get true forgiveness is from you. So may this young man turn to you as so many voices are probably coming at him, and comfort the family of the lost. We give you thanks for things that have gone well. We thank you that Scott Hedrick is out of the hospital. Pray that you'll continue to strengthen him. We pray that you would be with Tim Odie. We just celebrate this declaration of being cancer-free. And just pray that you will continue to work healing in his life. We pray that you do it that with Gail. We just pray that the pain will be kept to a minimum until she has this shot, and that will be helpful. We pray that you be with Helen as her numbers continue to drop. We pray that that will be the case. We pray that you would be with Kathy Miller as she's relocating, and with the progression of her dementia. Just comfort her, we pray. Be with all those that are traveling for Thanksgiving as we gather. In whatever setting, we pray that we would always, behind the gifts that we have, remember the giver of all things. So we direct all our praise and thanks to the one from whom every good gift comes. And we give you most grateful praise for being our loving and compassionate King. And we pray fully in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You'll join with me in the front of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you look with me, we will use the first seven verses of Psalm 95, calling each to worship before we stand and sing one of my favorite. Come thou almighty King. Let us call each to worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him in song.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
You have said it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Here ends the reading.
Amen.
crowned your Son as King, and by him will renew your whole creation. May the families of the earth now torn apart and yoked by sin find liberty in him and be subjected to his gentle rule. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now, as children of the light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Son of God. above all. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 23, verses 27 through 43. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, for he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Had to chuckle during the second reading. Some people don't like reading when their words that are hard to pronounce. And Lisa did an excellent job reading. But in honor of my mother, who's Italian, I have to say the way they do say the final book of the Old Testament is Malachi. It's an Italian book. No, it's not true. Lisa did. I love to hear different voices in our congregation take apart. It's a real tragedy in the church when it becomes a one-man show. I guess in a way it's a one-man show, but that man is Jesus Christ. And it's terrible. And we forget that an authority figure looms too large. We are the church, and I love hearing all of our voices. And I'm going to encourage that as much as possible. So let's pray again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather to hear your word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that descends upon us all, descend now, we would see Jesus in him alone. Guide our hearts, and most especially my words, that they would point to yours alone. And we ask this through the risen King. Amen. On the back of the bulletin insert, there's a picture that's not been alluded to recently, or up until now, but does anyone know who this is? It's Janus. J-A-N-U-S. And it is an ancient Roman mythological god that was a god of beginnings, of transitions, the god of the past and future. You can see it's one that looks as a young man to the past and to, as an old man to the future. It is a god and I use the word god with a little g in the Roman mythology, but it was a god upon which the month of January was based. And Janus is this God that if you allow me to take this image and encourage it upon you, and a blessing and benediction that you know that will form our thoughts as we look at the passage in Colossians. And what I'm going to suggest to you, I'm going to ask you to be a Janus, and I want you to remember both ways. Remember both ways. If you look with me to Colossians 1, where Lisa read, we see that Paul, to encourage this church and to encourage us, tells us that we need to remember both ways. And we know, as you often hear me say, and maybe in your own devotions, you may have a portion where you, in crossing yourself or making the sign of the cross, you may say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who, and say it with me, who was and is and will be forever or is to come. And this is what I want us to see. We need to remember both ways. The first thing that Paul does is he tells us to look back, to remember back. Look in verse 14 of Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He looks back and he says, above all things, we are redeemed. We have been saved from, delivered from the dark world in which we've lived. Some of us have testimonies like Timothy. We look back, and there was never a time in our life where we didn't believe. We grew up, as Timothy did, under a grandmother named Lois and a mother named Eunice. And we grew up with parents or grandparents who instructed us in the ways of the Lord. And we're blessed if you grew up having the in the admonition of the Lord. And for some of us, we don't remember a particular time where we were redeemed. For some of us, we do remember, and maybe dramatically, maybe drastically. We remember, and we can look back upon what we have been redeemed from. We can remember, and we can say, thank God, I'm not where I was. All too often, we can spend time thinking, why in the world aren't I far further down the line? How come I still mess up? Why am I still so messed up? Why can't I get it right? Brothers and sisters, Paul started, and Janus would remind us, the first thing we need to remember is not how far we need to go. We need to remember how far the Lord has brought us. We need to remember that we are not what we were. We need to remember that we once were without God. C.S. Lewis said that there are two things that every man, every woman needs to know deeply, and we never should get over it. He said the first thing is we should never get over how radically sinful and messed up we are. But he said far more importantly than remembering the first is we must remember the second, and that is how radically redeemed and set in the place of grace we are. We have been saved from. The King of Light has come and invaded the darkness. So like Janus, we look back and we remember where we came from. But then there's this isness in our life now, and we pick that up in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, this isness simply says, as you look at this cornucopia of ways of describing it, There's nothing that's left out. Jesus is the only King. He is the only power. You may have, and you may be surrounded by people that haven't gotten that message yet. You may know people or be exposed to people that think that somehow God stepped off the throne and handed that authority to them. They want you to believe that they are the ruler, the authority. They want you to pay homage to them. But I remind you what the three Hebrew children said to Nebuchadnezzar when they said to give an answer. Do you know, remember what they said to him? Not as an act of sarcasm, not as an act of disrespect, just as a brute truth. Do you remember before they gave an answer what the three Hebrew children said to Nebuchadnezzar? We don't need to answer you of this. You are not our authority. You have no jurisdiction upon those that have been bought and are redeemed by Christ. Nothing is outside or escapes the authority of Jesus. And the other thing, if you look in verse 17, he's not only before all things currently hold together. In other words, if it was possible, and it's not, this is hypothetical. In other words, if there was no Jesus Christ, there is no anything else. That may have been awkward grammatically, but I think you got the point. If there wasn't Christ, there's nothing else. Which means if there is Christ, all else is well. If we have Christ, we have this peace. See, our redemption, our life in Christ is not because of us. Our life in Christ is secure because who Christ is. Our salvation is secure not only because Christ is a wonderful Savior, but He's the King that's absolutely in charge, has preeminence. It's in Him all things hold together, if we remember. Now let me clarify. When I say He is our peace if we remember, I'm not implying, nor am I stating, that He's only King if you remember Him. There's a phrase that goes around, and it's not very precise or theologically correct, and you may have heard it, but you ever heard someone say that you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Well, brothers and sisters, let me inform you, you don't need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. God Almighty made Jesus the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of your life, whether you recognize it or not. He is the King. That's like saying, well, I'm going to decide whether or not I want our current president to be my president. Well, whether you like it or don't like it, He is the president. And whether you don't like it or don't like it, Jesus Christ is the King. We don't establish that objective truth by our belief. But like our catechism says, while we don't establish it as truth by our belief, we make it beneficial for us. Look at the Lord's Prayer. When we pray together, as we did this morning, as you probably do every day, Our Father who art in heaven, what's the first petition we make? Hallowed be thy name. Is God in heaven going, well, thank you. I was hoping that my name could be holy today, and now I have your permission. I will hallow my name. Of course not. His name, as the catechism says, is already hallowed in and of itself. The next petition is what? Thy will be done on earth as heaven. Well, thank you for asking me to do that. I was waiting for your permission. No, of course, He's going to do His will on earth. What we know is by me believing it, confessing it, remembering it, I don't make it true objectively. I make it beneficial for me. It then becomes what I stand in. So Janus looks back and he remembers the past. We remember that we were redeemed from. We stand in and we look forward. We look forward to that consummation when all will be well. That future redemption is sure. Everything will be well. But sometimes, and this comes down to the practicality of it, because you all agree with everything I just said. Sometimes, though, let me correct that. Most of the time, our sight gets in the way of remembering, doesn't it? Most of the time. And the older I live, the more I'm learning that it's not just some of the time. Most of the time, our sight gets in the way. My father used to tote me around as he had his own business to different businesses, and he'd go off and do the work, and I got stuck delightfully. I enjoyed it in guard shacks waiting on them or offices. And I remember one gentleman, Mr. Brammer, in his office when I would sit there waiting on my dad, he had a plaque that I would read often as a little 10, 12-year-old, and I thought it was interesting. And I grew to realize that it has a lot of theological truth. And I'm going to not quote it exactly as it hung in his office, but I think you can understand. And the little wooden plaque says, "It's hard to remember when you're up to your waist in alligators that your job was to drain the swamp." And the more I pondered that, I thought, that's true. It's hard to remember when we're up to our waist in the evils of this world, the difficulties in this world, the tragedies, the darkness, the betrayals. It's hard to remember when we are up to our waist. And brothers and sisters, some of us confess, sometimes we're up to our neck, aren't we? Sometimes we're having to get up on our tippy toes just to keep from drowning in the evil and the darkness. It's hard to remember. But in remembering is our salvation. We must remember. We must, in the dark, remember what we heard in the light. In that wonderful hymn, "This is my Father's world," there's that wonderful line that says, "And though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet." I just need to remember it. And to the point I remember it, I have peace. A peace that passes all understanding because it doesn't measure up with what I see. Well, people will think you're a fool. They're going to think you're a fool if you're up to your waist or your neck in alligators and you're calm and peaceful. They're going to think you're out of touch with reality. You're naive. You're not aware. You're not woke, thank God. You are whatever, but you're not in touch. Just look at them as Paul said and said, you know what? I'd rather be a fool for Christ's sake and have the peace that passes all understanding than be in absolute touch with this world and dancing according to its dictates. Amen. So what do we do when we forget? Well, let me give you two things. There are probably more, but I just want to tell you two. The first thing we need is we need to have others around us that will remind us. When you get overwhelmed, when you're grieving, when you're hurting, when you're upset, when you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're angry, I hope you're surrounded by people that will not tell you anything new. They just tell you what you already know. But we need others to remind us. I don't want a new message. I want an old, tried, and true message that I'm not remembering right now because I'm too sidetracked by all the alligators, and I need you. And sometimes you need me just to remind you what you already know. To keep your chin up, look into the King. But the other thing, we need the church. We need worship service. And there are two things you need primarily about this worship service. An old Lutheran pastor named Luhr, a couple centuries ago, said that when you come to church, when you come to this service, you're going to reach two mountain peaks where your vision hopefully will be a little clearer. He took this from the Psalms where David said, I was confused when I saw how much the arrogant and the wicked succeeded, how well things went for those that despise Yahweh, and I was confused. And in each time, he says, until I went into the sanctuary. And then somehow my vision got better. We remember at those two vistas, and the two vistas that Luhr pointed out was first the sermon, when we hear the Word of God expounded. But that wasn't the apex. The second and highest point is when we come to this table. And we come to this table and we block out all the world and we are reminded that there was one who died for you and resurrected for you, and the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is now literally, truly in you. And that's why we're told, this do in remembrance of me. And let me simply remind you, when you come forward to remember, it's not a cognitive recollection. It'd be far more similar to bringing both experiences together, just like with Janus. It's at the same time he's remembering the past, looking forward to the future, and living in the now. We bring it together, remembering in the sense, if your arm, a member of your body, was cut off, and they remembered your arm, it wouldn't be that you thought, oh, I remember that arm. It's not a recollection. It's a reattachment. It's a communion together. Brothers and sisters, this is not an intellectual exercise when you come forward of recollection. You are truly being remembered. This do in communion, Paul would say, with the resurrected Jesus Christ. There's healing here. This week, Sherry read to me a portion of a book that Tricia, I think, loaned to her by a lady who tragically saw her young sister run over the driveway of their home by a delivery truck. And she wrote a book in reflecting of this, and the book is called 1,000 Gifts. And as some of you know, and you can look and see that everything is much larger print, I've been dealing with some retina issues the last couple weeks, and I can't see well. Nothing out there has changed, but I've got some holes. I've got some flurries or blurries or whatever, the floaters. It's just not clear. And she wanted to read something that is going to be read to you now from this book. And I think it's a wonderful story. And if you've ever had problems with retina, you'll really appreciate this word picture, because it's true. And it speaks to how we remember at the table.
You can hear me, but now, Tricia, thank you so much for this book and for letting me hold on to it as long as I did. And I was getting ready to give it back to you, and I skimmed through it, and that's when I found this passage, and it spoke to me, because I've also had retinal detachment, and Tom's going through it. So if I may hook up and hear me. We look and swell with the ache of a broken, battered planet. What we ascribe
described as the negligent work of an indifferent creator, if we even think there is one? Do we ever think of this bustled up place as a result of us immigrants? Unsatisfied, we who puncture it all with a bite. The fruit's poison has infected the whole of humanity. Me? I say no to what he's given. I thirst for some reward, some elixir to relieve the anguish of what I believe. God isn't good. God doesn't love me. If I'm ruthlessly honest, I may have said yes to God, yes to Christianity, but really I have lived the no. I have. Infected by that Eden mouthful, the retina of my soul develops macular holes of blackness. From my own beginning, my sister's death tears a hole in the canvas of the world. Losses do that. One life lost can infect the whole of a life. Like a rash that wears through our days, our sight becomes peppered with black voids. Now everywhere we look, we only see all that isn't. Holes, lack, deficiency. In our plain country church on the edge of that hayfield enclosed by an old cedar split rail fence, once a week on Sunday, my soul's macular holes spontaneously heal. In that church with the wooden cross nailed to the wall facing the country road, their God seems obvious. Close. Bibles lay open. The sanctuary fills with the worship of wives with babies in arms, farmers done with chores early, their hair slicked down. The communion table spread with the emblems, that singularly cup and loaf. That table restores relationship. I remember. Here I remember love and the cross and a body, and I am grafted in and held and made whole, all upright. There alongside my friends, even the likes of me can see. Thank you.
I remember. The subtitle of the book is A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. To know the kingship and joy of Christ with nothing changing in your life. To be healed where you are. How? By simply remembering where you came from, who he is, and where he's taking you, us together. Amen?
Amen?
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Lord God, for you have looked favorably on your people and redeemed them. You raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of your servant David. as you spoke through the mouth of your holy prophets from of old. You have shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and have remembered your holy covenant, the oath that you swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve you without fear, in holiness and righteousness before you all our days, and finally coming to dwell with you, with angels and archangels, and the company of heaven, sing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God Most High, you sent Jesus as a prophet and a promise, for he went before you to prepare your ways, to give knowledge of salvation to your people by the forgiveness of their sins. You show us the cost and glory of your salvation in the breaking and pouring and sharing of bread and wine. Send down your Holy Spirit that your people may be sanctified by your grace, that these gifts of bread and of wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is a cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
By your tender mercy, Lord God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Inscribe in us that tender mercy, that we may be people of tenderness and mercy. Clothe us and all your creation in the kingship of Christ, that we may all know your power in weakness, your rule through grace, and your triumph through sacrifice, until all bow before your throne and worship in your glory, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, you have a king. You have a king that left his throne. You have a king who died for you. You'll never understand it. It'll never make sense. You'll never figure it out. Don't try. Simply say, "Thank you." In Greek, Eucharista, the Eucharist. We come and we give thanks. And in remembering what he has done for us, who he is, and where we are going, we are healed as we remember. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come forth and receive the very body and blood of our precious King that is given for us. He simply speaks the word and we are made whole. The feast is spread. Come and receive. gracious Lord, we thank you that in your call for us to remember you, we are ever more grateful that even in those times where we fail to remember, you always remember your children. We are etched on your palm. Even in those times where we are faithless, you are faithful to think that the God of the universe, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, remembers even me. We thank you for that. And we praise your holy name. And thank you that we are surrounded by your people and your word and your gifts that remind us to remember you and you alone. And we pray in your name. Amen. Let us stand and close our final hymn this morning. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thank you.